This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and it's a pleasure to speak to James Miles, the editor for China for The Economist magazine, a special section about 100th anniversary of China's Communist Party. And Xi Jinping takes over in 2012. He immediately is concerned with a word he calls corruption. The word corruption is many splendored. In this particular instance, he was speaking of rivalry with fellow princelings and others in the military, a rivalry that no longer needed Chinese communist ideology or thinking collectively. Apparently no longer needed it, but it turns on the personality and the success of one particular princeling. His name is Bo Xilai, and he's imprisoned in a party prison for indeterminate time, perhaps forever, perhaps he'll be released someday. His wife was also punished. His son, last time I saw, was in America having graduated from Harvard. He represented the new power in China. He was in charge, the party boss of Chongqing, but he was emphasizing songs, patriotic songs about the Red Guard or about the days of collective activity, sentimental business, but it was authority in China. It was gaining attention. Xi Jinping saw this, and the question now is, why did he move so effectively against Bo Xilai? And the events around it are shadowy. But also at the same time, Bo Xilai was linked to a man named Zhao Yongqing, who was very powerful on the standing committee of the Central Committee in charge of, I believe, both energy, that would be oil, and also state security, and two generals who were imprisoned also, Guo and Xu. James, this is the story within a story that we don't have, just foggily, but what do we believe Xi saw happening, and how did he respond?
Well, I think to simplify this very complex tale, I think essentially it was that Xi Jinping saw a new kind of politics emerging in China. And Bo Xilai, this Communist Party chief in the southwestern region of Chongqing, was representative of a different way of doing politics that was clearly challenging to the status quo. Previously, ever since the Communist Party had taken over in 1949, Chinese leaders had conducted their struggles internally, with one or two perhaps very brief exceptions. In 1989, the General Secretary then, Zhao Ziyang, just for a few minutes appeared on Tiananmen Square to directly talk to the demonstrators. But otherwise, we hadn't seen an attempt by a politician really to kind of reach out to the people, bypass the party, and establish a political persona independently. And of course, this was in the context of a new networked China, with everybody now on their smartphones connecting with each other via social media. And so Bo Xilai in Chongqing, which is a region, you know, roughly the size of Scotland, and just as mountainous and mostly sparsely populated with a very dense urban center in the middle of it, he had achieved notoriety not only in Chongqing, but also across China as a result of his activities. Notoriety, I suppose, in one sense, because he was harking back to the days of Mao singing red songs and, leading people in a kind of Maoist style revival, at least in name. Doing so in a way that gained him considerable popularity. There were many people who were feeling marginalized, left out by the dizzying pace of economic change, who felt that the party was ignoring them. And they really welcomed such a leader who appeared to have their interests at heart. I mean, apart from singing red songs, he was also doing a bit of practical stuff and organizing the building of subsidized housing for poor people in Chongqing. So it looked like a kind of populism with socialism mixed into it. That may sound odd in a country which is supposed to be practicing socialism, but really it's been cutthroat capitalism for much of the past 30 or 40 years. Many people seem to welcome this new approach, and that was challenging for Xi Jinping. There was a real possibility that Bo Xilai would eclipse Xi Jinping, who was the designated successor, that Bo Xilai would be the person that everybody looked to, the most inspirational leader. And so I think that that was at the heart of the struggles that we saw. It led to bitter recriminations, as you say, the arrest of Bo Xilai, sentencing to life in prison on charges of corruption. They haven't gone into any detail about the political charges, but they have spoken of a broad coalition of people within the elite, including Zhou Yongkang, who you mentioned, the security chief, the top uniformed officials in the armed forces, and others who allegedly had been engaged in a plot to seize power. Those are the words used by the Communist Party itself, used by Xi Jinping, and in effect, they have been charged with plotting a coup. So it appeared that there was really, you know, sort of red hot tension within the Chinese leadership around 2012, the scale of which I don't think we fully appreciated at the time. Although, of course, the defection of Bo Xilai's police chief to the American consulate in Chengdu was a strong indication that something very strange was going on.
Yes, that's what you'd call a melodramatic moment that we need to learn more of in the coming decades. I'm speaking to James Miles, the China editor for The Economist magazine. We've gone from the founding in 1921 to the friction that is apparent in 2021. The word corruption is used, but what is Xi Jinping doing about the threat to his authority, the threat to the Chinese Communist Party? When we come back, I mentioned that James in London is the author of Legacy of Tiananmen, a book he published some 25 years ago that is prescient in the fact that it knows that Tiananmen will remain extremely vital in the conversation, the fear of Tiananmen. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.